You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Universities the world over have been subjected to continuous government reforms since the 1980s to make them entrepreneurial, efficient, and aligned to the predicted needs and challenges of a global knowledge economy. Under increasing pressures to pursue excellence and innovation, many universities are struggling to maintain their traditional mission to be inclusive, improve social mobility and equality, and act as the critic and conscience of society. With this, in countries such as Britain, Australia, and New Zealand, academics are being urged to become more entrepreneurial, to focus on impact, and to engage proactively with business and finance in order to create more commercially oriented ecosystems. But how positive is the supposed symbiosis between universities and external financial interests? What are the costs of this collaboration, and what are the implications for the future of the public university? Well, Chris Shaw is a professor in anthropology at the University of Auckland, whose latest book, Death of the Public University, Uncertain Futures for Universities in the Knowledge Economy, attempts to address some of these questions and explore further the relationship between the university and the dominant political economy at present. I spoke to Chris about the book and the so-called neoliberalisation of higher education. Your new book is titled Death of the Public University, so when you say this, what do you mean exactly?
Yeah, I should say that there is a question mark in the title, so it's sort of death of the public university. It's not a foregone conclusion. The subtitle is called Uncertain Futures for Higher Education in the Knowledge Economy. I guess, yeah, by public university, we simply mean an institution that's sort of publicly funded by the government, by the state, and that has an explicit public mission, as opposed to private universities that are for-profit or based on sort of commercial logics and business models. So I think the argument, what we mean by the book, is that the public university as an institution and as an ideal is seriously under threat today in a number of countries, including, well, first and foremost, probably the UK, United States, Australia, and New Zealand.
And when we talk about things such as the neoliberalisation of academia or the university, what sort of problems do you think have emerged out of this?
Well, it's been happening over a long, probably the best part of three decades. And, the typical features of this neoliberalisation of the university include the withdrawal of state funding for higher education, the rise in student fees, the replacement of student grants with loans. And by the way, the Productivity Commission report that was published last month recommended reintroducing interest on student loans. Then we have the problem of course, related to this, of course, of rising levels of student debt, personal debt. In the universities, we have an increasing emphasis now placed on finding alternative revenue streams, which they have to do, but sometimes through raising fees, which we've had year on year now for as long as I can almost remember being at Auckland University. We've had universities chasing international students, goes under the moniker of export education. I think it's now the fourth largest foreign export earner in the country. We have a great emphasis on commercialising university IP, intellectual property, encouraging spin-in and spin-out companies, partnering up with industry, renting out university space, and basically sort of hawking our services wherever we can. But I think probably the main problem with this is what it entails is a total reconceptualization of what a university degree is. It's now construed as a private personal investment in your individual career rather than as a public service geared to the needs of the nation or to citizenship.
So is it a case then of universities becoming more like businesses and less about quality research and quality teaching?
Well, the discourse is certainly all about business and innovation and entrepreneurship, and maybe the past decade of university reforms have all been about turning universities into a kind of pale imitation or simulacrum of a transnational business corporation. But the key problem here is that universities are not businesses operating in a conventional market. Their product is not simply commodified packages of knowledge or the transmission of simple skills. And running universities as though they were businesses is really bad practice. it's also really bad for democracy. So quality research and teaching continue to be important. Don't let's not mistake that. But sometimes it feels like they're only important because these are central to the pursuit of national or international reputation and prestige, rather than because education and research are regarded as being an intrinsic value in themselves.
Now, as an academic yourself, have you found that the culture and character of academia and the wider university culture has changed as a result?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, I've been involved in teaching in higher education for probably 30 years now, and you know, neoliberalization, I would say, has transformed the culture of academia and produced a whole raft of new hierarchies and new social relationships, and that's kind of what interests me as an anthropologist. Let me just list some of them. I mean, it's encouraged intensive competition between universities and faculties, even between individuals in departments. It's intensified competition for resources, for market share. It's fueled what the Irish scholar Hazelcorn calls a reputational arms race for improving one's QS or THE rankings. It's led to a privileging of the STEM subjects, the science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. And it's led to an exaggerated emphasis on commercialization and entrepreneurship. It shifted power away from academics towards what you might call a new class of senior administrators and managers, which has resulted in increasing managerialism and what Mike Gain calls leaderism, this kind of exaggerated emphasis on the role of the leader. So in short, it's changing the whole ethos of the university as an institution that was once based on professional collegiality and trust towards a regime of managers who are often increasingly remote from the university's core business of teaching and research, and who tend to often regard academics as a sort of an undisciplined workforce that needs to be incentivized or cajoled, but rarely seen as you know, actors who should play a meaningful role in the governance and management of their own institutions.
So who then is to blame for the situation that we find ourselves in with universities?
Oh, the blame game. I'm not sure. I mean, look, in some ways this goes right back to the 1990s when the OECD, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, they really pushed the concept of the global knowledge economy, in which, you know, universities were given this leading role as they were going to be the drivers of the new knowledge economy, because they produced the two raw materials, you know, students and knowledge that the new economy needs. But governments have a lot of responsibility. I think the current national-led government was extremely instrumental in reforming the university and polytechnic sectors. Their governing councils, Stephen Joyce in particular, was determined to make these governing councils far less representative and wanted to reorganize them so that they were packed with government appointees from the world of business and finance, and that's what's happened. But very often, also, we find that, you know, university leaders are championing these same kinds of reform. And after all, you know, they too are heavily invested in the game of reputation management.
What sort of changes would you like to see?
What sort of changes would I like to see? To reposition universities in sort of places where serious research and scholarship and learning can take place? Oh, look, I'd like to see universities valued for what they are and what they should be. And this is not really radical, revolutionary stuff. I mean, the 1989 Education Act defines them quite clearly as places of higher learning that engage in research and teaching, that have a duty to act as critic and conscience of society. But I think many of the recent reforms have not really improved the quality or the efficiency of universities. If anything, they've made them much worse. And I can think of certainly the reforms that I've experienced close to the chalk face here at the University of Auckland. We've had the FAR process. We've been reorganized into schools. We have a thing called the leadership framework. I am quite critical of all of these initiatives.
Are you optimistic about the future then for the public university?
Yes and no. I think, you know, our current government wants to open up higher education to private providers, and as the Productivity Commission report suggests, you know, it seems to be blinded by a sort of an ideological commitment to the market and all things private. It doesn't understand why universities are important, because it sees everything in terms of economics and investment, or, you know, treasury regulatory impact analysis programs. Everything has to be sort of run through the rinse of a regulatory impact analysis. And I'm worried about the future, especially the levels of student debt, which are increasing, and which, in a curious way, and nobody seems to draw attention to this, you know, the 2008 global financial crisis was sparked by the subprime mortgage crisis, you know, with people, lots of thousands of small householders taking out mortgages they couldn't afford on the basis of properties whose values were diminishing. Well, we seem to be encouraging the same kind of reckless borrowing in individuals on the to finance their own education. And at some point, this is going to reach a tipping point. So, yeah, I think for me, the public university is a treasure. It's a repository of all sorts of valuable knowledge. It's taonga, you know, it should be treated as one of our national icons, maybe on a par with our national parks, our national museums, our national radio, not hived off to the private sector or managed as though it were a meat and milk factory. So we need to protect and safeguard it. And really, I think that can only be done properly by legal safeguards and by proper public funding.
Why should New Zealanders care so much about this?
Because your children will curse you if you don't.
The Wire.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.